Our next case is Gordon v. Collins, 25-1461. Counselor Johnson, you have 3 minutes for rebuttal, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. May it please the Court. Jeff Johnson for claimant appellate Vaughn M. Gordon. The Veterans Court here erred by finding that it did not have jurisdiction to consider the veteran's claim that it has a that he has a statutory right to a disability compensation rating for his bilateral hearing loss at 10%. That right is established by the...
Counselor, we yes, have sir. Ruled already in another case on all four points of the issue that you're bringing today. Would you agree with that?
I would agree that the court has various decisions that touch on this case. I think that there is a path forward for the court to decide that, for example, that Wingard would not apply. But I think that the existence of some of these precedents also would require some examination by the court.
If our sense is that Wingard does apply, it's dispositive to your argument, correct?
I think that it would be dispositive for the general request, which is the first argument, which is that Wingard doesn't apply. But given that this court has, as Your Honor has noted, has ruled on the court has various precedents on different parts of this case, including in Frazier, where the court held that non-compensable ratings are permitted under the statutory scheme.
Which case should we follow if there's an earlier precedent that is perhaps inconsistent with a later precedent? Under the law, which one are we supposed to follow?
Right. So under Federal Circuit precedent, if the earlier case should be followed first, if it is controlling on the same thing, right? The issue here is that you have two conflicting lines.
Wingard's the earlier case.
Yes, but you have two.
Wingard said Veterans Court can't review the schedule. We can't review the schedule, right?
Yes, it says that.
And the schedule gave your client a 0% rating.
The regulation gave my client
in combination with the schedule.
Well, the question here, I think, really for the court, and something that Wingard doesn't grapple with, because Wingard didn't arise in this context, right, is whether or not the schedule for disability ratings that Congress provided is reviewing the schedule of disabilities, right, versus the regulation. The regulation for hearing loss, which I think is 38 CFR 487, is the table. Certainly parts of that regulation are the schedule for disability ratings. But the question as to whether or not the 0% rating is the schedule of disability ratings, I think is an open question that the Veterans Court should decide.
Didn't Wingard involve 0% as well? It was a change
yes.
to the 0% in the table?
Yes. So the Veterans Court in Wingard decided not to follow the plain text of 2302, which would have denied benefits to the widower seeking burial benefits because the veteran at the time was not in receipt of compensation, right? And that's been the plain text of 38 U.S.C. 2302, which has since not been repealed. The court then went on, because she had a second claim, that his 0% disability rating wasn't allowed, and therefore he should have had benefits beforehand, right? So when the court reached the question of whether or not a 0% was allowed or not, the Veterans Court said, "Of course we can, because it isn't reviewing the schedule of disability ratings." And then this court, on appeal, said that no, in fact, when the claimant is asking to get rid of the 0% disability rating for everyone, because it had to be for everyone, right? That would constitute a review of the schedule, right? But that wasn't based off of the statutory language of 7252B. It was based off of this court's earlier precedent in Warner v. Principi, which involved an APA action under Section 502. So to go back, I think the key here is the framing.
It appears to me to be pretty clear that Section 7292, the statute that confers jurisdiction on this court, is pretty clear that we don't have jurisdiction to review scheduled disability rating issues. Not the type like you're bringing.
Well, no, I think if we look at 7292, and this is where I was going to go first with the argument, because it is...
7292.
7292, right, which is the jurisdictional statute for this court over the Court of Veterans Appeals, right? The Secretary says in a footnote, I think it's on page 7 of their brief, I could be wrong, I think it's like footnote 2, says that this court lacks jurisdiction because what the Veterans Court did below was a refusal to review the schedule of ratings for disabilities adopted under Section 1155 of this title, right? However, in Warner v. Principi, this court expressly said that the Veterans Court's interpretation of its own jurisdictional statute, which would include whether or not it was a proper refusal or not a proper refusal, right, is a question of law subject to de novo review by this court. So this court has jurisdiction to review whether or not 7252B...
We have jurisdiction to review whether we have jurisdiction. But, you know, on that cursory review, the statute appears to be rather clear that we don't have jurisdiction, and that's what Winograd said.
Well, but it also goes toward the underlying question of what is the underlying question for it, which is the that it goes to the scheduled disabilities under Section 1155 and to the whether or not the Veterans Court jurisdiction was either proper or not proper. The court can review both of those questions at the same time. They're sort of inextricably linked together with the way that this works.
What I heard Judge Rand saying is that the Veterans Court did not have jurisdiction, it appears, both under the statute that's applicable there as well as under Wingard.
So, again, I think it's because...
I mean, if the Veterans Court uses 7252B to say we don't have jurisdiction to review something it clearly has jurisdiction to review, we can review that legal conclusion. But if it uses 7250B to say this relates to the rating schedule or the Secretary's actions in adopting or revising that schedule, and therefore we don't have jurisdiction, I suppose we could say that's legally correct as a matter of law, but you agree with that. We can't review the actual further application of any of that schedule or the ratings applied by that schedule.
So I agree with you, Your Honor, that you know that the win, that the quote unquote win in this case for my client, right, would be that this court determining that 7252B doesn't preclude the veterans' challenge to be heard by the Veterans Court, right?
But that's just flat out wrong. I mean, the challenge you're making here is ultimately to the rating schedule and the actions of the secretary in defining that rating schedule. It's to the regulation assigning a 0%, right, which is an interpretation of that schedule.
I think the end result is...
I mean, we've already said that in Wingard and other cases, that specific question goes to the rating schedule, which we can't review.
I think the issue here still remains that the challenge as to what constitutes the rating schedule and whether or not a 0% is on the rating schedule, right, is still alive, and that's something that I think the Veterans Court can decide. And this is why, Your Honor, is that Congress.
Let me ask you this: if we disagree with you on this and think that the Veterans Court, are you really? I'm a little confused as to what you're asking us to do altogether, but even if we disagree with you, is this a determination? If we think you're challenging the schedule, which I do, then we dismiss, right? Because we don't have jurisdiction to review challenges to the schedule.
So if the court were to determine that the challenge constitutes a review of the schedule, then yes.
The actions of the secretary in implementing the schedule.
Well, that's not what 7252B says, though. 7252B says...
In adopting or revising that schedule.
That's correct. In this, as a benefits claim, does not require the secretary, as the secretary even concedes, does not require the secretary to revise any part of the schedule.
But it's a challenge to the action where the secretary
says
you get a 0% rating in certain circumstances, right? That's part of adopting or revising the schedule.
It's not. So adopting.
Okay, I disagree with you on that. I'm not answering that point anymore. If we agree that the secretary's action in the regulation allowing for 0% rating is part of its actions adopting or revising the disability schedule, then the Veterans Court was correct that it can't review it, and we don't have jurisdiction either. I know you disagree with that, but assuming all that's correct.
Sorry, I was just making sure I followed you correctly.
Yeah.
I believe that what you said was correct, Your Honor.
At the end of the day, your challenge is to the structure of the schedule. You're challenging the 0% rating that emanated from the application of that schedule. And you're saying the structure is wrong, because if you have a 0% non-compensable rating, then you should have 11 levels and not 10, which so it seems to me that you are arguing a revision or re-adoption of the actual structure of the changes, and that clearly is not within our jurisdiction.
I think as framed below in front of the Veterans Court, I know that there were flavors of challenging the schedule at large kind of thing. But I think more importantly, I think this is on page 1 of their brief, I think it's on page 7 of Mr. Gordon's brief in front of the Court of Veterans Appeals, that the issue of what he's seeking is for his statutory right to compensation, right, that Congress decided in 1155, right, and in 1155 is a mandatory schedule. Right, it says that the secretary shall adopt and apply, right, and then later on it says that the secretary shall construct the schedule to have 10 grades of disability and no more, and then specifically goes on for each level at 10%, 20%, so forth to 100%. So at the end of the day, the veterans challenge before the Veterans Court was saying that the application of one part of the table in 38 CFR 487 is unlawful, and that he has a statutory right to a 10% rating in that.
I'm going to interrupt you for a minute.
Yes, sir.
Just ask. I hear your argument. I'm having a really hard time distinguishing it from the argument that was made by Ms. Wingard in the Wingard case, where we held her challenge to the 0% disability rating based on statutory provision 1155 was something that was a challenge to the table, and therefore the Veterans Court did not have jurisdiction and neither did we. And so I'm having a hard time it sounds to me like the argument made is exactly the argument made there.
I think they are very similar. Because Ms. Wingard made arguments off of 38 U.S.C. 1110 and off of 38 U.S.C. 1155. Ours also has the added hook of saying that not only do you have the statutory right to compensation in 38 U.S.C. 1110, but you also have a right to an exact amount of compensation that's mandatory under Section 1114, and those are subsections A through J.
Okay. You think that makes all the difference in whether the 0% is in part of the table or not?
I think it makes a difference because the table essentially is just deciding should only be deciding what's on the 10%.
We held the table included the 0% in Wingard, did we not?
I think the court ruled that a challenge to a 0% or maybe all the 0%
right.
Was. That's correct.
It was part of the table.
That's correct.
Okay.
So, and I will reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal. Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the Court, the Secretary submits that this case is squarely controlled by Wingard. Wingard did not go out on a limb. It interpreted the plain and unambiguous language of two jurisdictional limitations applicable to the Veterans Court and to this Court, Section 7252 and Section 7292. Based on those authorities and this Court's controlling interpretation of those authorities, the Court should dismiss this appeal for lack of jurisdiction. Mr. Gordon has argued that somehow this Court has the authority, nevertheless, to consider whether or not the Veterans Court acted within its jurisdiction. He cites 7252A. The problem with relying only on 7252A is that it does not acknowledge that 7252B creates an exception to that Veterans Court authority. Even if this Court found it had jurisdiction over the appeal, summary affirmance would be appropriate because, again, Wingard is controlling and the Veterans Court correctly declined to review the schedule at issue in this case. As Your Honor, Judge Hughes, you noted, the schedule is the source of the non-compensable rating here. Mr. Gordon received a non-compensable rating pursuant to 38 CFR 4.85. Within 4.85, that is part of the schedule, by the way, his auditory testing results were applied to a table pursuant to that table in the schedule. He was assigned a 0% rating. That is the source of his 0% rating. To the extent he is unhappy with that 0% rating, he is taking issue fundamentally with the schedule and asking the Veterans Court and this Court to review that schedule. And for that reason, Wingard applies.
Okay. Thank you for your argument. Mr. Johnson, we'll restore you back to 3 minutes. If you need that much.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll try to stick to the 38 seconds that we had before.
Okay.
Out of courtesy for the court's time. Given where the court is on that Wingard applies, right? I think the real question here should be whether or not the court should consider going en banc to determine whether or not Wingard should apply in the future, right? Whether or not 7252B actually is an exception, or that this, or
the, you're free to file that motion anytime you want.
Yes, Your Honor.
I suspect you're not going to get at least this seat to do a sua sponte en banc on that issue. The rules certainly entitle you, after you receive our decision today, to file a motion for hearing.
Yes, Your Honor. And I think that, you know, one thing that the court should think about when it is writing its opinion is that the veterans who are going through the Board of Appeals and who are challenging it in front of the Court of Veterans Appeals aren't always counseled, and sometimes should be able to rely on the plain text of the statute that Congress allowed, that Congress provided for their compensation. And I don't think that the jurisdiction...
I think the counsel part makes a difference in a lot of our veterans' cases. I think it makes very little difference here because the statute is very clear that the courts have no ability to review these determinations, as we've held. And whether the veteran is counseled or not, maybe they mistakenly think it can get reviewed, but that doesn't change with counsel. I mean, this is a pretty cut and dried legal question.
Your Honor, I respectfully ask that the court look at the plain text of 7252B as well as this court's jurisdiction or 7292 to find that it has jurisdiction to inform the Veterans Court of its jurisdictional boundaries when reviewing these kinds of claims. Thank you.
Thank you. We thank the parties for the argument, and the case will be taken under submission.